the Senate Special Committee on Budget, Public Safety Subcommittee for Wednesday, June 1, 2005. We are in work session on Senate Bill 5533 to be followed by a work session on Senate Bill 5577. Let's begin with Senate Bill 5533, Criminal Justice Commission, and I'd like to invite the agency forward while we have the discussion on the measure before us. Mr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, in front of you is a memo, and then attached to the memo is our LFO worksheet. I'll spend most of the time using the LFO worksheet. But I'm starting out on the memo. The numbers, I will have one change in the spreadsheet, and the numbers are which will reduce the other funds by $25,000, and I'll show you that when I get there. It's just an update of some expected revenues. As you know, this is the Criminal Justice Commission, which is a primary policy tool for the governor, as well as other branches of government around the public safety and criminal justice system. It also has been responsible over the past few years for the juvenile crime prevention program, which includes both state and federal grants to counties. That particular function in the governor's budget, as well as the House and Senate plans, are being transferred to the Commission for Children and Families. There is a House Bill 3029, which was heard and passed out of your counterpart subcommittee in the House this morning, passed with no objections, is on its way to the House full committee. That bill should pass before this transfer takes place, but actually you could do interagency agreements to transfer the programs between the agencies if 3029 does not pass. So that major function, which accounted for most of the general fund of the agency, has been transferred, which leaves the criminal justice unit, which is responsible for administering sentencing guidelines, asset forfeiture oversight, helps us as a plug in terms of LFO, are very important in terms of doing fiscal impact statements during the biennium. But their major focus or major responsibility in statute is to develop and maintain a state criminal justice policy and comprehensive long-range plan. And I have a budget note recommendation on that when we get to that point. If you turn to the worksheets now, starting off, which I believe on yours should the top page would be page 409. I'll walk through the criminal or the sentencing policy and research or the criminal justice unit package by package so you get the feel for that. Package 070 is a revenue shortfall. This reduces by half an FTE to recognize the shortfall, mainly from the asset forfeiture receipts. Measure 3 from a few years ago really cut into asset forfeitures. There is a bill, I think it's sponsored by Representative Olson, that is starting through the process or moving through the process, which would change how those proceeds are distributed. There's also the Supreme Court case presently. I'm not sure when it should be coming out relatively soon, but relative is a relative term for that matter. But it may throw out completely Measure 3, and the impact of Measure 3 was to constrain, one of the outcomes of it, constrain the asset forfeiture revenue on the civil side significantly.
Mr. Wilson, has Representative Olson's bill been heard on the House side?
I believe it has.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Craig Prinz, Criminal Justice Commission. I think it's through the committee and waiting for the fiscal, so it has not hit the House floor yet.
All right. And is the agency, Mr. Prinz, in support of that measure?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Package 090 is the BAM Analyst Adjustment Package, what the governor uses to make cutbacks in his portion of the budget process. In this case, the only reduction in Package 090 is for the smart buy savings, totaling just a bit over $2,800 for this unit total funds. Package 101 recognizes the shortfall in the asset forfeiture as well as some of the federal funds shortfall, and moving on to the next page of the worksheet, adds back $57,365 of general fund to partially replace the revenues lost in package 070. The LFO recommendation is just to adjust it for the reduction in PERS. So that not only restores the funding, but it also restores the half FTE that was associated with the asset forfeiture oversight committee. Package 104 is, at least on the federal fund side, would fully fund merit increases on the federal fund side of the unit. Generally, small agencies get funding for the second merit. Larger agencies do not generally get funding for the second merit. This is sort of a compromise. Those fundings the governor provided for the federal fund side of it, but not for the general fund side. We're recommending approval of that package. Package 107 at the bottom of page 5 is the law enforcement contacts commission or committee package. The governor proposed eliminate the funding for this function, which was $131,643,000. That was presently the Portland State University, and I can't remember the unit that is responsible, that is part of PSU, is administering that through a contract with the commission. Both the House and Senate co-chair budgets restored this funding that was cut in the governor. So our recommendation is to add back the $131,643 to the budget.
And Mr. Prinz, what is the length of the contract with Portland State?
Madam Chair, the length of the contract ends, it was a year contract. And I believe it ends at the end of the biennium. And I want to make a point on Doug's note here that under the current contract, one of my FTE, one of my analysts, still receives the data and helps write the report. We're contracting with PSU to do more of the, there's a lot of coordinating and meeting with the law enforcement groups, and so it still is a joint process. And this, in 2001, when Senate Bill 415 passed, I think it was $300,000 originally, and we'll have to, and it's the Hatfield School, I believe, Claudia Black at PSU, so we'll have to work with Ms. Black, I'm hoping to see how we can cover this in the future.
Mm-hmm. An additional question about how this activity will be covered in the future, and stepping back and looking at the asset forfeiture oversight committee and its work.
Mm-hmm.
The staffing for the asset forfeiture committee, is it the same staffing
Yes.
that we're talking about?
Madam Chair, it's the same person. It's a research analyst that, if you look at Mr. Wilson's package, basically half of that FTE is paid for by asset forfeiture.
Mm-hmm.
That was what had to be backfilled with Measure 3. Depending on what happens, that would fund half of the position, and then the other half works with the LECC with the data gathering portion of it. Also, there's the community outreach portion of Senate Bill 415, less interaction with that. He does need to go to those meetings to see what's happening. And it looks like that analyst, you know, between the asset forfeiture and the LECC, and then working with the legislative fiscals during the session, that keeps him pretty busy on those tasks alone.
Okay. And I would ask us to hold that thought, anticipating that we're going to have the conversation around the budget note and the further work of the commission,
mm-hmm.
which is solely focused on completing a long-range plan.
Correct.
A long-range comprehensive plan for the public safety system. And again, just wanted to make sure we're just very clear about the staff resources available to carry out this complement of work. So, continue.
Madam Chair, on page 6 of 9, the next package, as part of the transfer of the juvenile crime prevention grants, the governor proposed keeping one of the positions within the commission to do some of the long-range planning and that kind of work to help assist with that and increase the policy analysis resources available to the commission. Neither of the co-chairs' budgets included that position, so you see it eliminated here. So that is our recommendation. It does play into what you were just talking about, though. Package 801 is the recommendation from LFO regarding the PERS and AG rate. In this case, it's a total of just over $5,700 total funds for this unit in their budget. Package 811 is a recommendation of LFO. With the loss or the transfer of the juvenile crime prevention grants, it is doubtful that the commission in its new form needs a full-time budget finance accounting person. So we are recommending elimination of that position and then have that position or retain about $40,000 in their budget to pay the Department of Corrections to perform the budget and accounting work. One reason that that position or the Department of Corrections was chosen is the former person that did this is now an employee of Department of Corrections. And between BAM and LFO, we convinced Department of Corrections that this was a good idea to have them do it for them. Department of Corrections performs a similar responsibility for the parole board. Package 812, which is on the top of page 7, this is where the change is in the recommendation from what's on your spreadsheets. There is additional, there's carry forward money expected between the 0305 and which will follow into the 0507 biennium. This is some of the burn grant funds that were awarded to the commission to perform a lot of the governor's work around meth and public safety analysis during the during the interim. They decided to use those unspent funds for a methamphetamine task force recommendation around education and outreach with kids. They call it the No Meth Campaign. It's a contract with the Oregon and Partnership. And they will have what they estimate now to be $75,000, not the $100,000 that will carry forward from the current biennium to the next biennium to continue this project or this contract. So that $100,000 on that sheet should be reduced to $75,000.
And again, what are the outcomes that we're expecting with that investment? It's a small investment, but an investment nonetheless.
Madam Chair, the first of all, this is from the Meth Task Force, as Mr. Wilson said, and when the Meth Task Force again and again made the recommendation to look at prevention from meth, this was the outcome of that. And so I don't think if we get to the, if you're talking about the progress board outcome measures for the commission, I don't know if Mr. Wilson's going to hit on that, and I can't remember if we hit on it earlier, but we need, our progress board measures are not adequate at this time, and we need to redo them. Most of them were focused on the juvenile crime prevention grants.
I was actually asking a different question.
Okay.
And no problem.
No.
I'm asking about the outcomes that we're expecting from the Oregon Partnership,
mm-hmm.
which has the responsibility for implementing the campaign.
So, Madam Chair, the outcomes are they're putting together the TV campaign for public service announcements. Some of those have already aired. This is where they're working with the University of Oregon Journalism School to complete some other ads. Actually, The governor was filming one of those in the ceremonial office this morning. They're also putting together radio ads focused on high school and college age youth. We used the University of Oregon so that we were hoping that they would be the peer group and they would be able to put together a campaign to do that. But the more important to me outcome is they're going to put together community action kits, they being the Oregon partnership, so that as the meth task force has worked and met and brought together people, and hopefully we'll have some successes to share, we're having them put together kits that then you could give to cities, faith-based organizations that want to educate people about meth in smaller communities. And so those are the outcomes.
Very good. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if you move to the next page, page 8 of 9, this is the other unit, which by the time you get done walking through the packages is eliminated or transferred to the Commission for Children and Families. But working through the budget, the 070 package, a revenue shortfall, this just recognizes what expected federal revenues will fall by $626,000. This makes that recognition by reducing the limitation. Package 104 is similar to a package in the first unit's budget that dealt with the federal, the merit increases for those salaries that have federal funds attached to them, the same type of thing for small agencies. The general fund, again, the component which makes up the bulk of the agency salaries in the new, as after it's transferred, are not covered. Package 105 increases one of the positions which is transferred to a full FTE. It had been 0.91 FTE, and there were some recruiting problems and things over time to fully, so this fully funds that position at a cost of about $9,000. And finally, package 300 on the next page takes the remaining funds of this unit and transfers it to the Commission for Children and Families. So you'll see a similar package, or have seen a similar package, in the Commission for Children and Families budget, which increases it by roughly this amount. Not all the positions are funded. I think there are five positions eliminated here. The governor's budget put one of those five positions in, retained it in the commission. The co-chairs took that position away. And then I believe 3.5 FTE of the remaining four positions were created in the Commission for Children and Families budget.
And how is this reflected in the House budget plan?
The House budget plan, I believe, fully funds the transfer. The Senate does cut it back, this $6.5 million. I think it cuts it back to $2 or $3 million. I'd have to check for the juvenile crime prevention.
About $4 million, I believe it was the last figure.
Oh, was it? Okay.
About $4 million.
So it is cut in the Senate version.
Okay.
And, Madam Chair, that's sort of walking through the budget. If you go back to the memo, the bottom of page 1 and the top of page 2 is just a real listing of the policy packages that were just discussed. In the middle of page 2 are some outstanding issues that I just want to make sure that the subcommittee knows about. The first bullet is we've talked about already, which is the asset forfeiture. There will be a fiscal impact, both with the Supreme Court decision, what that ends up being, as well as the bill itself. Unfortunately, one of the implications of the ballot measure 3 was some defunding or significantly decrease in funding for drug teams across the state. This was a funding source for drug teams. So if those asset forfeiture monies do come back, it's hoped that some of the drug teams can be either increased or the number expanded as a result. Number
before you go on. Now, are both co-chairs fully aware of both of these issues and the possible fiscal impact?
I don't think we've talked about it in the co-chairs meeting. The funding, the bill itself distributes funds, the state share, and I can't remember, Craig, Mr. Prinz, if you remember, or actually you have the bill there, how it's distributed. I think 2.5% of the total amount that's collected will come to this budget.
Yeah, Madam Chair, that's correct. The question being, are the co-chairs aware of all these what could happen in the next few months? The most important thing to remember is if nothing happens legislatively, but Measure 3 is overturned, we would go back, the law enforcement agencies would be able to do civil forfeiture as it was done before Measure 3, which I think would mean, again, there would be money coming into the state. What the House Bill 3457 does is it keeps the same amount of money coming to my commission to do the oversight, which is 2.5% after the costs for the local agency. 5% would go to the DEQ to do the actual drug cleanup fund. And then the remainder of the money that would flow to the state would be 20% to drug courts and 10% to the Commission on Children and Families to fund relief nurseries, which is the, I don't know if you're familiar with those. Mm-hmm. That money would be 37.5%. The rest would then, I think that you'd have expenses and things at the local level. So that's the basic split under the plan. And as I recall, and I was telling Mr. Wilson I need to review this because it's several sessions ago, that's the split for my commission and for the DEQ, I think, is the same as it used to be before Measure 3 and then before what we did in 2001 when we kind of reacted to Measure 3.
And just for your information, all of us, I want you to know I had a conversation with Representative Olson about that split as it's proposed, given that we now have this experience with methamphetamine and drug cleanup means something totally different than it did in the past. So I don't know how he's looking at the possibility of making an adjustment in the percentages or not, but the question has been raised.
Okay, good.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, one issue to sort of keep in the back of your mind as the meth proposals mm-hmm. come through, and I think we're a matter of only a couple days from them coming out of council, is my understanding, is you need to take a look at how drug courts that may be funded through that proposal, and given that some of this asset forfeiture money is slated for drug courts, you'll likely see that the bill, the asset forfeiture bill, somewhere in the budget process. We'll want to link how the monies are distributed, or at least consider it, because I know there have been some discussions that the drug courts may be a grant process through the commission here, mm-hmm. and we want to sort of think about linking those,
yes.
the asset forfeiture dollars and these dollars together.
And the House, do they have the same level of awareness?
Actually, we didn't talk about the drug courts with the committee,
okay.
but we'll make sure they do.
All right.
The second bullet, quickly, Madam Chair, deals with just to let the folks know that with the transfer and the decline in staff, Mr. Prinz doesn't need the office space he currently has, and we hope that he works with DAS facilities to either find new space or not have to pay as much. And actually the budget does cut some of the rent out of the budget to encourage folks to move to that position. And I know Mr. Prinz and DAS facilities, I believe, are already talking. The final bullet there, this is a budget note related. As I stated before, the primary mission of the commission is to develop and maintain, that should be state, not stat, wide policy and comprehensive long-range plan. They've been diverted in part from that function of the past few biennia, and the budget note that we are recommending, the co-chairs have approved, strongly encourages the commission to refocus their efforts to their primary statutory responsibilities. And then ask them to report to the legislature as part of their budget presentation to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means on the progress of that, as well as to the Judiciary Committee, since they are the primary policy entities for the legislature in the public safety criminal justice systems. At that stage, Madam Chair, a motion may be in order to either accept in all or in part or none at all of the LFO recommendations before you.
Senator Devlin, I will accept a motion to accept all.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to accept all of the recommendations from the Legislative Fiscal Office.
Any further discussion? Seeing no objections, motion is approved.
Madam Chair, and then next is the change in the appropriation bill, the actual amendment to the bill that's listed there. On the bottom, line 7, reference at the bottom, page 2, that should not be 131,541. It should be the 106,541. That recognizes that decrease from 100,000 to 75,000. And it would be appropriate now to offer an amendment or a motion to either accept or not accept this amount, but this is the amount that reflects the LFO recommendations.
Senator Devlin?
Madam Chair, I move to accept the LFO recommendations to amend HB 5020 into SB 5533 with the following changes and with the last technical change that Mr. Wilson has indicated orally.
Further discussion? Objection? Motion is approved.
Finally, Madam Chair, there are performance measures, and as Mr. Prince noted, the former performance measures had been pretty much focused on the juvenile crime prevention grants. Those are no longer a part of this agency or assumed to be part of this agency in the budget. And Mr. Prince did inherit some at least initial work on three performance measures listed there, the percent of recommendations in the long-range public safety plan that are adopted or implemented. LFO in this case is not completely sure of what's trying to be measured except how successful the commission is in having other entities accept their proposals. There may be a better measure in that case. Number two was the percent of surveyed customers rating agency assistance good or excellent. We feel in recommending that this measure should be, it's not necessarily a bad one or not up to snuff, but it should be reviewed in the larger DAS progress board around a customer service oriented performance measures that all agencies are looking at. And the number three is the number of website hits to access agency data or reports. LFO feels that this really is a workload measure, not necessarily a performance measure. So overall, we feel that that the commission should, for the next year, work with the progress board, ourselves, and other parties in state government in coming up with a better set of measures, and am suggesting the budget note that's listed in there on page 3 in italics at the bottom, or toward the bottom, that they work on the staff, the progress board, LFO, and others, and in developing performance measures, and then report back to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee prior to August 1st of 2006. This is almost the exact same language as you saw for the DAs, who are still also developing their performance measures. The other point I want to make is I think the DAs in their presentation made mention of the public safety community coming together to talk about sort of overarching performance measures, and it is our feeling that actually the commission, since its representation is across many portions or components of the public safety system, that they would be a good body or entity to work on those overall performance measures. And that's just, we're just noting that and would encourage the commission to take a look at that.
I would just add, and this is for the record, and I hope it's just an added measure of clarity, that ultimately what we're trying to give to Mr. Prinz is the ability to measure the effectiveness of a coordinated criminal justice system, measuring the effectiveness of a coordinated system. And I'd like you to keep in mind that framework, if you will, for future reference.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This is not in response to your comment, but it's actually in response to the LFO recommendation here. I'm fine with the LFO recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of if there is any entity, doesn't even have to be in public safety, but elsewhere, that is comparable to the commission that might have performance measures in place, because I think that this is really difficult, because I don't know how you hold the commission responsible for, potentially when it speaks about performance of agencies, that are a significant number of agencies at all different levels of government, how you hold the commission responsible for their performance. It's really difficult for me to understand what you can measure, because even the first one, which is we're saying to rewrite it, is so gray. How do you know if an agency has accepted part of a recommendation, all of a recommendation, has modified it? I mean, it's really not a very objective, actually. So, Madam Chair, all I'm saying is I understand your comment. I understand LFO's recommendations. I'm just wondering if either one of us want to be on the Joint Audit Committee during the interim, because I don't think particularly we've sent so many to the Joint Audit Committee, but I don't think Mr. Prinz has a particularly easy task.
Well, actually, with regard to the task the task coming before that audit committee, I do have an interest in serving on the audit committee.
Also, do I.
Just to put that on the table. So please know that. But I also look forward to working with the agency around looking at these performance measures, given all that we've heard in this committee, going back to the very beginning, January, February, when we had excellent presentations on the status of our public safety system in Oregon. I think there's so much to draw on. There's a lot of information to draw on. There's a lot of good expertise out there, the various agencies to draw on. I think we're up for the task. You know, frankly, if I were going to start the process, I would scratch 1, 2, and 3 and just say blank slate. Let's begin again. Those are my thoughts.
And my thoughts, Madam Chair, are this: that I think what was attempted there was trying to measure the relevance of the commission. You know, whenever you're a policy commission, you at least want to know someone was listening. So that's, I think, when they're measuring the hits on the website. When they're measuring the recommendations made, it wasn't so much to other agencies as to the legislature. I think that we see the legislature as our customer, and we should be giving you a value that you want to act upon. It's been actually interesting in seeing the meth task force, as disjointed as that was at times, as I look at the legislation that's being put together in the district meeting, it's pretty much the recommendations from the meth task force. So that's what I think they were trying to get at, is these were recommendations, they were acted upon. I agree with you, though. It's a difficult task, but I think we have some things we can look at. We have to look at recidivism rates. That's a basic thing that we can look at our system. And then we have to look at those areas in the, you know, using system. I cringe a little bit when I think about our system, because it's not a system so much as a, I don't know, can conglomeration. But we look at those areas where there are, as we talked in January, where are we matrixing people out of jail who eventually we think should go to prison? And if so, how do we get that better and try to be able to measure those things? So that's what I'm thinking, if that's kind of where you're at as well.
This is very good. It's a continuation of the thoughtful conversations we've been having, and I appreciate your comments. Mr. Wilson, anything?
Madam Chair, there are a couple more motions on this. We need to accept or not accept the budget note that was just discussed, and then the final motion to move past the bill out.
Okay. Senator
Dibble? Madam Chair, let's discuss that way. Probably best to do them separate. I move to accept the budget note that's been requested by LFO.
Any further discussion? No objections? Okay. Motion approved?
Madam Chair, I move SB 533. Oh, wait a second. My eyesight is getting to me. It's Hansen's spot. His age is probably wearing off on me. SB 5533 is amended to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any further discussion? No objections. And the motion is approved. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, that is that part of the agenda.
Okay. And Mr. Prince, thank you very much. I look forward to working with you during the interim. Close the work session on Senate Bill 5533 and open the work session on Senate Bill 5577, Department of Justice. And this is a possible reconsideration and work session on Senate Bill 5577. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow a motion to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 5577 was reported out with a recommendation to the full committee. Are there any objections? The chair will accept a motion to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 5577 was reported out with a recommendation to the full committee.
Madam Chair, I move to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 5577 was reported out with a recommendation to the full committee.
Are there any objections? Okay, the motion carries and the bill is back before the subcommittee.
Madam Chair, the only item that that this bill is back under reconsideration for is a budget note that was brought late in the process. It has been accepted by both sets of co-chairs, or both co-chairs. And what the budget note instructs the agency to do is basically collect information on the cost of lawsuits in actions brought by the state, or where the state is a party in actions, and so that information be collected, presented to the emergency board late in the biennium before the next session starts, for information that the legislature can use to take a look at budgets and how the cost of lawsuits to the agencies in terms of charges by the Attorney General have affected program levels in any major cases. This budget note was brought to us by Representative Morgan originally.
Good afternoon, Attorney General Myers. Do you wish to comment on the budget note before the subcommittee? All right. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I'm willing to vote for the budget note. I do think it's valid to be able to track the costs of litigation that the state enters into, but I also think we need to recognize clearly that there are very legitimate cases in which the state needs to enter into litigation, needs to become the party to litigation. Litigation that's filed by other parties that needs. With that understanding, I'm willing to vote for the budget note, because I do think that, you know, if the purpose of the note is to basically gather information about costs incurred from the state and to be able to determine to some extent of how revenues are being spent and if they're being spent wisely,
I think that's perfectly valid. If the purpose is to in any way try to indicate to the executive branch that that it should not pursue as many litigation items as it believes are valid to pursue, then I would have a problem with the budget note, because I think the executive branch clearly has that authority and clearly is acting in all cases in defense of the state's interests, and ultimately by being in defense of the state's interests and the defense of Oregonians' interests in this state. So.
Let the record show that I am joining Senator Devlin in his statement of concern about the budget note. Is that an accurate characterization? And I will accept a motion, Senator Devlin, to accept the Department of Justice budget note.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the budget note that has been explained and provided up to us here today.
Further discussion? Any objection? If not, then the motion is approved.
Madam Chair, then you need to move the bill back to full committee,
okay,
or to the full committee. Never quite reached there.
Madam Chair, are you ready for a motion?
Yes, I am.
Madam Chair, I move that we move Senate Bill 5577 back to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any additional discussion or objection? The motion is approved.
And that motion included as amended by the budget.
As amended. And I will carry the bill.
Okay.
If there's no further business, anything for the bill of the order?
There's no meeting scheduled tomorrow for the subcommittee. Next week, I think what's on the agenda next week, I think it's judicial department is next Thursday and Friday, right? It's scheduled now.
All right. Okay. And we are adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.